We had that passage open before us a minute ago in Colossians, and I don't want to spend too much time on it with you this morning. But does it annoy you if I say this? If I say Jesus and his amazing Technicolor dream coat, does that annoy you? Jesus and his amazing Technicolor dream coat. Does that irritate you slightly? Anybody ever so slightly irritated by me saying Jesus and his amazing Technicolor dream coat? Yeah, there's one over there. There's one at the beginning of a rebellion. Anybody else? Jesus and his... There's two over there as well. Jesus and his amazing Technicolor dream coat. I'm starting to irritate and get under the skin of a few people, which is good. Jesus and his amazing Technicolor dream coat. That's my title for what I have to say here. And the reason I'm talking about Jesus and his amazing Technicolor dream coat is because I think most people in the room here know something about Joseph and his amazing Technicolor dream coat. Could you just raise your hand if you don't know about Joseph and his amazing Technicolor dream coat? Yes, I chose the right illustration. Great, I'm glad you know what I'm talking about. Good. So you all know about Joseph and his amazing Technicolor dream coat, don't you? You know the story about that. It's so popular. Perhaps you've seen the musical. Perhaps you know the words. Perhaps you've read it in the Bible. But there's something we can learn from that simple story there that tells us something remarkable about the passage that we read just a few minutes ago. So just bear with me. Because I want to illustrate this for a reason. At the beginning of the passage in Colossians, it says concerning Jesus, and this is in verse 15 and verse 18. In verse 15, he says, he is the firstborn of all creation. And in verse 18, it says, and he is the firstborn from the dead. Can you see in both those cases, this phrase firstborn comes about? Firstborn. Now, we need to kind of just get our heads around what that means, because it's very important if we're going to understand Jesus in this, what Paul has to say about Jesus, the firstborn. Now, here's a strange thing. Now, Joseph was one of 12 sons. One of 12 sons. And for those of you who can remember all the names of the sons because you knew the songs by heart, you'll perhaps remember that Joseph was the 11th of the 12 sons. The 11th of the 12 sons. Now, most cultures, most societies, the person who gets the privilege of being called the firstborn, and usually with that comes some responsibility and also some privileges, the person who normally gets that is, of course, the eldest. Yes, the eldest is normally called the firstborn. And yet, Joseph, who is in fact the 11th of the 12 children, gets to wear the coat. That coat, that amazing coat that he was given, was a sign from his father that he had been chosen to enjoy the privileges and the responsibilities of being treated as the firstborn. And the firstborn is basically set in as the head over the family, the future head, the crown prince of the family. And he has the robe to make sure that everybody can see that he has been favored by his father to take over the family when he's gone. But he's the 11th of the 12 children, the 11th of them all. And yet he gets the coat. What, how was it that he ends up? The 11th son gets to be the firstborn. How does that happen? Well, quite simply, it's this. That has anybody ever encountered a complicated family? Complicated families. You find complicated families in the Bible too, of course, because complicated families are not a new thing. In fact, Jacob had children by four different women. It was a very complicated family. And through all sorts of situations that took place, the interference of a parent-in-law, nobody knows anything about that, strivings and competitions between various people in a family situation, nobody knows anything about that, to do with health issues as well. Rachel had very serious health complications which prevented her from being able to have children, it seems, for years and years and years. All these sort of things affected their whole lives, the family life. And as a result, the person that Jacob wanted to marry, the person that Jacob loved, was this woman called Rachel. He loved Rachel. But as a result, he ended up, his life got complicated. He had all these other relationships and had all these other children. But the first child that was given to him from Rachel was Joseph. This is the woman he loved. This is the woman he always, the only woman he ever really wanted to be with. And when it was possible for them to have a child together, and Joseph was that child, he gave the coat to Joseph, the firstborn of his beloved Rachel. And he set him aside to be the next head of the family. Now, do most of you think that Jacob was being a little bit favoritist? Was he favoritism? Do we struggle with the idea of favoritism a little bit? And most people are quite critical of Jacob. So what were you doing? You know, messing up the family order. You're creating trouble, weren't you? It was inevitable there was going to be more trouble in the family if you did this. But think very carefully before you rush to judgment. Because you have to watch what God did in the life of Joseph. Now, it may have been an unpopular choice in human terms, and the brothers were not very happy about what happened. But what did God do in Joseph's life? When they conspired against Joseph and they threw him in the pits, yes? What did God do with Joseph's life? He was hurled down by men, but God raised him up. Every time we read it in Genesis, we hear the same term coming over. But God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. Now, when God is with you, that doesn't mean he just happens to be walking side by side. It means he's for you. He's working his power and exerting his influence for you. And he raised Joseph up from the pit to the palace, didn't he? He became Pharaoh's right-hand man. So you can see, you can criticize Jacob for his decision, but God backed him to the hilt. Joseph had enjoyed the blessings of the firstborn, the firstborn. When Jacob was dying at the end of his life, he parceled out his estate, as it were, amongst his 12 sons. And when it came to one son, Levi, he didn't give him anything at all. He gave him nothing. When it came to Joseph, he gave him not one portion, but two. He received the blessing of the firstborn. He was set in above his brothers, the head, the preeminent one, the ruler of the family. How fair do you think that is? Does that feel fair to you? Somebody gets nothing, somebody gets two. One for you, one for you, one for you, none for you, one for you, one for you, two for you, one for you, one for you. Does that feel fair? But that is the blessing of the firstborn. Now, the brothers definitely thought it was unfair, didn't they? And they conspired against Joseph and they threw him in the pit. It was jealousy, wasn't it? Jealousy. Plain and simple jealousy. They were outraged. But God raised Joseph from the pit to the palace. So, Joseph's amazing Technicolor dream coat. But let's look at Jesus's amazing Technicolor dream coat. Let's look at the life of Jesus. Because here in the passage we've seen, not once but twice, he's first called the firstborn of all creation, the head over the whole of creation, not just over a family, the whole of creation. That's the firstborn, the blessing. He's been placed as head above the whole of creation. The whole family of mankind, all the creatures, all the planets, everything, this passage says, belongs to Jesus. He's the head over it all. But it doesn't just leave it there, does it? This is Easter Sunday morning when we're celebrating the resurrection. And it says as well in verse 18, he is the firstborn from the dead. He's doubly firstborn. One for you, none for you, none for you, four for you, one for you, one for you. He is exalted, isn't he? High above every name that is named. Jesus is being presented in this passage as Lord over all, isn't he? The firstborn of all creation and the firstborn from the dead. Let's just stop and think about that for a moment. because some people think the firstborn from the dead refers to the fact that he was the first person to be raised from the dead. And he was, wasn't he? Can you recite anybody else who was raised from the dead and lives forever? And we're told in Scripture that all of us will be raised from the dead in the fullness of time. Maybe that's a new thought to you. But the time is coming, the day is coming, when there'll be a great shout from heaven and the trumpets will blast and the dead in Christ will be raised. All of us will be raised for judgment. We'll all stand before Jesus in the fullness of time. And yes, he is the first in that sense. But really what we're talking about here is not that he was before us all, that he was raised before us all, but he is the firstborn of us all. He is the head over the resurrection. He is the ruler over all those who are going to be raised from the dead on the last day. And he's been raised and exalted, and in the fullness of time, all his people will be raised and exalted. But Jesus will still be head over us all in that day. But there will be those who have none. There will be those who have none. And in the world, there is a raging and a fury about Jesus. You know, all the praise and the adulation that he gets from people around the world. One for you, one for you, one for you, one for you, two, four for you. Why? Why should people go on and on about Jesus? Have you ever met a Christian who goes on and on about Jesus? Because he's the firstborn. Because he's the head. Because he's the ruler over us all. And whether you think it's fair or unfair, whether you're outraged by that, or it is your joy and delight to know that truth. We, mankind, crucified Jesus, and he was put in a tomb. He was put in a pit. But God raised Jesus bodily from the dead, and he rules and he reigns even now. So, if you've got an issue with it, your issue in the end is with God, who has exalted him to this place. He is the firstborn from the dead. When the brothers were outraged at Joseph, who were they really angry with? They were angry with Jacob, their father, weren't they? They just weren't at peace with him. And if you're outraged by the claims of Christianity, who are you really angry with? You're just really angry with God. God, Jesus' Father, who raised him from the dead. Don't be angry with God. Come to God and find peace with him. Make your peace with God. If anybody has a right to be angry, it's him. But he's offering us mercy and forgiveness and grace if we'll come in Jesus' name and proclaim him, as we read in this passage, that Jesus is Lord over all, head of the church, firstborn of all creation, firstborn from the dead. From the dead. He's the head of the body, it says in verse 18, the church. Do you see that? How do you see Jesus? When you see Jesus, what do you see? Do you see him in his amazing technicolored dream coat? Do you see the blessings with which God has given his son? That's all I have to say.